Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas. Have all of you finished your shopping already? No. How many of you have not started? Neither have I. So I was driving down the street, down freeway, saw traffic. I was like, oh yeah, I gotta go shopping. So maybe the 24th, we'll do that. Let's see your Bibles today. Let's see your Bibles today. Say word.
Word.
Let's see your pens. Yeah. Lesson plan, lesson plan. Let's turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke. I want to welcome everybody watching online and watching in North County. God bless you. Hopefully you're having a Merry Christmas already. And God's getting you ready for Jesus. Jesus. Luke chapter 2. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness, and we pray you bless us today, and we pray we can be a blessing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was 19 years old, I was not a Christian. I was smoking marijuana. I would go over to my girlfriend's house and stay over there night after night and do things we shouldn't have been doing. And one night, I was in a department store in this place called Hempstead, Long Island. It's a black neighborhood, predominantly black neighborhood, and she was working as a cashier. And it was about 9:25, right before the store closed at 9:30, and these two Charles Manson-looking dudes walked up to me, shared the gospel with me. I asked Christ to be my Savior right there on the spot. They had never seen me before. It was kind of like a cold call. They just stopped me right there in the store. I was had the big afro. You know, I looked like a blow pop. I was real skinny and had this big old afro. And I prayed, started crying. And then for the next 2 weeks, I would still go to my girlfriend's house. And I remember laying in the bed, but I couldn't do anything. I was like in spiritual shock. I knew I shouldn't get high. I shouldn't have been having sex, blah, 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 blah. And one day, it was about 5 in the evening. Sun was kind of setting. It was dusk. And I was laying in the bed, and this angelic being appeared to me in the room. It was Christ as far as I was concerned. And I remember laying there, and my girlfriend was in the kitchen washing dishes, and Christ appeared to me, like materialized, like beamed in on Star Trek. If you remember Star Trek, how they would beam in and beam out. I know it sounds kind of funny, but I mean, you know, I'm not making this up. I'm sitting there looking at this, and I couldn't see his face. I could see earth tone colors and a robe and hair. And he just stood there, and I was scared to death. And I remember trying to move. I was frozen. I remember trying to sweat. My pores opened up. But the sweat in my body said, we ain't coming out. We ain't got nothing to do with that. And I couldn't move my arms. It was just supernatural. And I was sitting there wondering, and then he went away. Never said anything, didn't point. And I remember getting up after he went away and walked into the kitchen. I was going to tell my girlfriend. I said, you know what? She ain't even going to believe it. And I just walked back in the room. And for so many years, I wondered, why would God appear to me? You know, I had just gotten saved. I was getting high. I was doing all this stuff I shouldn't have done. I was just this low-life kid. I wasn't low-life, you know, trash. But, you know, who was I? And I still, to this day, don't understand why he appeared to me. As we continue this series called Cast of Christmas, we're going to look at the shepherds, because the shepherds were in a field taking care of their sheep, and someone appeared to them. And in that culture, the shepherds were the lowlife. They were at the low end of the social ladder. And yet, an angel and angels appeared to them and said something to them. So let's read the story and see what we can learn from the shepherds. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It says, now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe or baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Everyone say manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had seen and as it was told them. So let's talk about these shepherds. Everyone say shepherds. The shepherds were on the low end of the social ladder. Matter of fact, if you were going to be a rabbi, you were forbidden to be a shepherd. The rabbis considered the shepherds unclean, ceremonially unclean. When Joseph was in Egypt, the Egyptians despised the shepherds. The shepherds were seen as nomadic. They were seen as rude. They were seen as barbarians. They were out in the fields, walking around, sleeping out all night. But shepherds were very important because Moses was a shepherd when God called him to lead. All the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were shepherds. David was a shepherd when he was called to go fight Goliath. And we also know that Jesus was the most famous shepherd. He was the good shepherd, the great shepherd. But what is the significance of the angels calling these shepherds, and why would these shepherds actually go and see the Messiah? So number one in your notes, if you look in your notes, number one, and I'm calling these shepherds lowlifes only because of how they were viewed. Now, whenever you read the story in the Bible, you want to ask, how does this Bible relate to me? And what is God trying to say about the gospel as it pertains to me? And what's very interesting is that these men who were at the low end of the social ladder were the first ones to be told about Jesus. And where Jesus was born was also tells us that Jesus came into a very common, poor environment. Number one in your notes, it says, lowlifes gladly accept the invitation to meet the Savior. Now, sometimes people will think, well, you know, I'm a nobody. I remember when I was looking at Jesus in the room, thinking, who am I? And by the way, I'm nobody. I wasn't anybody. The only thing good I have is Jesus in my life. And we always have to remember that. But what we also have to remember is that Jesus, God made us in his image, and he values all of us very much. And when we see in the Bible, God reach out to people who everyone else would consider low. When we see in the Bible God come into situations that we would say are poor, we get an idea of who God is and how he wants to relate to us and the requirement he would have on us. Because these shepherds in their mind, they're low on the totem pole, and if rabbis wouldn't go near them, and here they are being told that there's a Messiah being born. And then they're told that the Messiah is going to be in a manger. Everyone say manger. And so in their mind, they're thinking he's going to be in a manger. He's in swaddling clothes. And what they're hearing in their mind is that the Messiah is not being born in a palace. What they're hearing, he's not being born in a mansion. And what they're being told is that you lowlifes, you shepherds who no one wants to be around, you shepherds who the priests would look down upon, we're inviting you to go meet the Messiah. Now, it's one thing to be invited. It's another thing to accept the invitation. As a God looks at all of you, he says, listen, I love all of you, and I'm inviting you to a relationship, but it doesn't mean you're going to accept it. As a matter of fact, I was talking to someone the other day, and they were talking about, well, God loves everybody, so everybody's going to go to heaven. No. God's only people who go to heaven are the people who accept the love of God on God's terms. And so here these shepherds are out going, well, he's going to be in a manger, and he's going to have swaddling clothes. Isn't that what our kids wear? And a manger, isn't that where our animals eat? Matter of fact, I want to do a little review. Last week, we talked about Jesus not being rejected from the inn, that the inn was actually a room in a house. Let's do the review. We have a picture we're going to put up on the screen. So this is a house back in Jesus' day. This is a two-room house. And if you see at the bottom is the door to the stable where the animals would stay. And then you walk up the steps to the living room. And in the living room are the mangers. And the mangers are where the animals eat. The animals are standing on the main floor at the left. And then where the mangers are is the second floor, just a few feet higher, so the animals' heads can reach right into the manger and eat. And the guest room to the right is called a cataluma or an inn. And so when Mary came to this house, this peasant's house, they said that the guest room or the inn is full. We have guests, but we'll let you stay in our living room, and you could be born right there in the manger. And so these shepherds, when they heard that Jesus was going to be in a manger, When they heard that Jesus was going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes, what they heard was, that's like us. He's not in a palace. He's not in a big mansion. He's in a house like us. As a matter of fact, he's going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes like our kids. Swaddling clothes were just strips of cloth that they would wrap around a baby real tight so the baby wouldn't move, or they wrap around a broken bone. That's all it was. And so what these shepherds heard was, this invitation is really for me. And when you think of Christ, Christ came to give an invitation to very common people. By the way, if you're a common person, raise your hand. Very good. If you got issues, raise your hand. Very good. If you're a sinner, raise your hand. And let's try this one. Is anybody in here perfect? No. Now, you may be thinking when you were getting dressed, oh, my goodness, I'm so bad. I don't know if you saw my sister with her teeth. I tweeted out that picture of me and her saying, I'm trying to get my sister a date. She approved, by the way. She approved. My sister's a great sport. She's all good with all this. We're not perfect. You know what Jesus said? I've come for the sick, for the sinner, for the imperfect. If you're perfect, you don't need me. Matter of fact, there are two ways to get to heaven. I know that you've heard pastors say there's only one way to heaven. Well, that's not really true. You may have even read the Bible that there's only one way to heaven. It's not really true. There's two ways to heaven. You can either have Jesus forgive you of your sin, or you can live a perfect life and never sin. Can I get an amen? Amen. So really, there's two ways to heaven. It just so happens that you and I only have one option. Jesus was the other option. So he's perfect. And so he came for regular people. And he wanted to come in a way where regular people would hear the gospel and say, that's for me. I'm going to say it again. He came for regular people, and he wanted the gospel to be communicated in a way where regular people would say, that's for me. And so when the angels came to the shepherds, they knew the shepherds were like, you know, we're outcasts. We can't go see a king. They knew that they had that in their mind, and they knew that everybody shunned them, and they knew that if they went to a palace, they would be shunned and not let in. They said, shepherds, he's going to be in a house just like yours. He's going to be in a manger. Manger? He's going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes? That's us. And they accepted the invitation because they heard the gospel in a way that was relevant to them. Every single sin we have, you know, the Bible says Jesus was tempted in every way, and yet he never sinned. How many of you had a friend betray you? Jesus had friends betray him. Can I get amen? To the point of death. He had people lie about him. How many of you had people lie about you? Just keep your hand up. How many of you have? Are you feeling me? I mean, he's had people lie about him. He had his family members deny him. He had people doubt him, people cheat him, betray him. The people he died for yelled out, let his blood be on our heads, crucify him. He'd been there, done that. And so he understands. Number two in your notes. Number two, lowlifes are accepted by the Savior. Lowlifes are accepted by the Savior. Look what it says in verse 12. It says, this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel and a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. From my experience with the appearance of Christ in my life, I can tell you when you eventually see Christ, or if you ever see an angelic being, you will be in shock, or you will worship. When we worship God, and you see people worshiping God like this, kind of bored. The only reason people worship God like that, because they don't have a clear picture of who God is. That's it. Because when you see God, you will say, oh, my goodness. Matter of fact, it's like when you see a little baby, you go, oh, that's so cute. You can't help it. You can't see a little baby and go, oh, yeah, what's up? That's a little baby. You go, oh, man, so because they're perfect. When you see God, I can't imagine having a whole bunch of angels singing. And look what it says. Let's keep reading. Verse 15. It says, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven. Can you imagine that? Hey, we got to go. We got to go back to heaven. And when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary, Joseph, and the babe lying in the manger. Here's Jesus and the baby in the house we just showed you. And they're there, and the shepherds come and say, we want to see him, and they let him in. They didn't say, no, you can't come in here. They said, come on in. If anyone says, dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Come live in my heart. Please be my Savior. You know what Jesus says? Come on. That's good news. But what about, no, come on. But what about, come on. But you don't understand. It don't matter. It don't matter. God, you know, sometimes we have a harder time forgiving ourselves than Jesus has forgiven us. And some of y'all carry around this burden of guilt. I talked to a couple recently, and they had cheated on each other. And they came, and they were hugging, and they said, we love each other, we cheated on each other, we forgave each other. And I said, what's the problem? We can't forgive ourselves. I said, you had the hard part. So I said, let's review this one more time. So you cheated on him, yes. You cheated on her, yes. And you both know it, yes. And you both forgave each other, yes. And you're both in love with each other, yes. And you want to put your marriage and move forward, yes. I said, so, and what's the problem? Can't forgive myself. Oh, man, that's the easy part. I mean, the hard part is forgiving the other person. I don't even want to know. A lot of times we want to forgive ourselves. You know, that's because sometimes we're prideful. We don't think we deserve it. You don't. You don't. Say, I don't deserve the love of God. You don't. That's why it's called grace. It's undeserved favor. Matter of fact, the minute you think you deserve it, the minute you think that you are good enough, that God owes you something, you always want to assume the posture that God has deemed for you is that you don't deserve it and that he created you as an object of his love, out of his love. And so you just want to say, Lord, I graciously, humbly receive it. Thank you. There are some people that I have met throughout my life who have had failure so often in their life, they are scared to succeed in their life. And whenever they have an opportunity to succeed, they either walk away or they sabotage it because they don't think they're worthy. And so they blow their own life up because the devil keeps telling them they're no good. And they have a label of victim, so they just victimize themselves so they can fulfill the prophecy in their head. God says he wants you to be his child. God says he wants you to be a conqueror, a victor. God says he loves you beyond what you ever could ever ask or imagine. And so God says, I'm going to come down in the lowliest of circumstances so there's no mistake of who I am. And I'm going to live 33 years, and I'm going to have all these horrible things happen to me, and I'm going to let all these men beat me and do all this thing to me because I want to identify with the common person. And then I'm going to conquer even death. And then I'm going to offer that victory to you. So here these shepherds are going, man, this guy was born in a manger just like our kids. He had swaddling clothes just like our kids. And we're going to go see him because now we feel welcome. Now we feel welcome. Look what it says next. Number three in your notes. Lowlifes brag about the Savior. Everyone say lowlife. I wonder how often you brag about Jesus. Talk about Jesus. Let's look what it says in verse 16. It says, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. They told Mary, Mary, we were told this about that baby. Mary, they told us that this is the Savior of the world. And look what it says in verse 18. And all those heard it marveled at those things which were told by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Everyone say Abraham. Yeah. Say Isaac. Say Jacob. Yeah. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and he had 12 sons. And those 12 sons became all of Israel, all the Jews. And all the Jews will end up became slaves in Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt 400 years. And then God told Moses, I'm going to have you deliver my people from Egypt. And Moses says, well, who am I that I should go? I'm just a lowly guy. He said, don't worry about that. I want you to go. And by the way, he was tending sheep when God called him. And he goes and he tells Pharaoh, Pharaoh, let my people go. So it's like one single guy going up to the president of the United States, let the people go. Or the president of a country, let the people go. And Pharaoh said, who am I to listen to you? And Pharaoh said, well, it's me and God, actually. And by the way, you and God form a majority. You need to know that. And so Pharaoh says, I'm not going to listen to you. And Moses says, well, I'm going to send plagues on you. And he sends all these plagues. He sends lice. He sends darkness. He sends frogs. He sends locusts. Over like a two-year period, all these plagues are coming down and just tearing up the Egyptians. And Pharaoh says, I'm not letting them go. And he says, okay, well, I got one more plague. God is going to kill the firstborn in every household that doesn't have the blood of the lamb on the door. Everyone say blood of the lamb. So if you don't have the blood of the lamb on the door, the angel of death is going to come and kill the firstborn in your house. And Pharaoh said, oh, whatever, whatever. And he said, okay, I'm giving you a last warning. And Pharaoh said, I'm not letting the people go. So Moses says, you will never see me again. Moses goes back. He tells the Jews, you got to get one lamb, 1 year old, no blemish. It can't be a lamb with a broke leg and fleas. It's got to be a good lamb. It can't be a lamb that can't go bah. It can't be one of these lambs that can't even go bah. And you have to get a lamb in your house. You have to take it in your house. You hold the lamb for a few days and start to develop a relationship with the lamb, keep it in the house. And then you have to kill the lamb after you fall in love with the lamb. And you put the blood on the door. And when the angel of death comes, if the blood of the lamb is on the door, I'm going to say blood of the lamb. Then the angel of death will pass over. Say Passover. It will pass over your house and no one in your house will die. That's where you get the holiday Passover. And so all the Jews believed, and they got a lamb. They brought it in the house. They bonded with the lamb. They killed the lamb. They put the blood of the lamb on the door. And when the angel of death came, it passed over their houses. And in the Egyptians who didn't do it, it killed the firstborn in every house. And they was crying all through the land of Egypt. And then they left. And God told Moses to tell the people, every year I want you to kill a lamb, 1 year old, a lamb without defect, a lamb that can really go bye, full sentence. And I want you to, every year, I want you to kill the lamb and I want you to celebrate the Passover. And so the shepherd's job for 1,500 years was to take care of sheep. And their job was to protect those sheep and keep those sheep healthy. And their job was to provide a nice one-year-old lamb every Passover to their people so they all could celebrate Passover. And so they all could celebrate that one day God saved them by the blood of the lamb. So here these shepherds, they understand this. They've been doing it for 1,500 years. And here they are out in the desert, out in the fields, taking care of their sheep, doing God's work, staying up all night, protecting the sheep from the wolves and all the animals, making sure that Israel has enough one-year-old lambs that are clean and healthy that they can sacrifice to their God. And then the angels come and say, guess what? Your job is over. The lamb was just born in a house, the Savior. And they're like, what? All this time we've been taking care of these lambs, waiting for the ultimate Lamb of God whose blood would forgive us of our sin. When Jesus was baptized, John the Baptist, his cousin, said, the Lamb of God. All these years, for 1,500 years, they've been sacrificing a lamb, one a year, one a year, one a year, one a year. And finally God said, now I'm going to send my son who's going to be the Lamb of God. You don't have to do that anymore because the blood of lambs cannot forgive sin. That's why they had to do it year after year after year, but the blood of my son. And so these shepherds says, now we understand. And so God went right to them first before he went to the priests, before he went to the wise men, before he went to anybody, he went to his shepherds. And he says, I want you to go see the lamb that's going to take the place of all these animals you have out here. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. Everyone say Lamb of God. And Jesus Christ came to shed his sinless blood on our behalf. And if his blood is over your sin, when the angel of death comes, it will pass over your life. Say Passover. And I doubt, matter of fact, I need to take a poll because there may be somebody here who wants to go to hell. Is there anybody in here? I'm going to let you think about it for a minute before I ask you to raise your hand. In a minute, I'm going to ask you, do you want to go to hell? And then all you have to do is raise your hand. And then we'll excuse you because you don't need to come anymore. hell is a place where God will never be. I was talking to someone the other day. They said, well, you know, if God is loving, why would he send somebody to hell? Well, God sends people to hell because he's loving. It's all about love. Everything God does is love-based. Well, how could God send someone to hell? Because he loved them. Because they said they didn't want to have anything to do with him. Well, I don't want to have anything to do with God. I'm not going to follow God. But God says, okay. Then when you die, you'll never hear from me again. You can go where I'll never come. And that place is called hell. So God, out of his love, says, well, I'm just going to give you what you asked for. But we want to encourage you, don't ask for that. You don't want to ask for that. Because God gives us these little warnings in his love. He warns us of hell. How many of you have ever been hung over from alcohol? Okay. Some of y'all teenagers are like, I remember my parents. How many of you have been heartbroken by a girlfriend, boyfriend? Oh, that's like the worst pain. Can I get an amen? Yee. Don't raise your hand. Depressed, suicidal, in emotional bondage. Is all sick thinking you're going to die. Poor, you're struggling knowing where you're going to get money. All these ways that God is saying, these are little tastes of what it is like to be without my blessing in your life. And you don't want to put all that in the bottle and mix it up and have that stew every night. You don't want that. People talking behind your back, tearing you down, feeling like other people got control over your life, being abused, raped, molested. You put all that in a bottle, and that's a little bit of hell. The angel of death is coming. Death is coming. But Jesus said, if you have my blood over your heart, if you ask me to forgive you of your sin, the angel of death will pass over you, and you will not die and go to hell. You will go to heaven. And so when the shepherds heard the news that the Savior was born, they got it. They said, we understand because we've been looking forward to this for a long time. And now we also know that this Savior is not only for the rich. It's not only for the powerful. It's not only for the political. It's not only for the educated. It's for everybody. The Bible says that the common people heard him gladly. They said, we get it. Why did Jesus tell so many stories? Because he's talked to the common person. Talk to the common person. So in a minute, we're going to pray. And you're going to have an opportunity, like the shepherd, to say, I get it. I want the Savior in my life. I want the Savior in my marriage. I want the Savior in my family. I want the Savior at my job. I want the Savior in every area of my life. I don't want to be like the religious that think I'm better than. I want to be like a common person to whom Jesus came. Because it was the religious who thought they were better than that missed the whole gospel. But it was the common people who said, yes, I want that. And so if you believe you're a sinner, which we all do, you believe that there's only one way to heaven, which we all do, Jesus, and you want him to forgive you, and you want to accept the invitation, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me in a minute. But it does you no good to hear the gospel and not respond to it. So let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness and your goodness. We thank you so much that you know who we are and that you came to a regular home. And we thank you that you know everybody in this room and you have an incredible plan for their life. And we thank you that you love us all. But Lord, that does none of us any good if we don't accept the invitation. Like the shepherds, if you realize that God loves you, you realize he died and rose from the dead for your sin, and you would like Jesus to forgive you of your sin, and you would like to accept the invitation to meet the Savior, just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. If you're watching online, if you're watching in North County, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I know you love me. I know you died for me and rose from the dead. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Come live in my heart. Be my Savior. Cleanse my sin away. Grant me eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand, and by standing you are acknowledging that you are surrendering your life to Jesus and that you are accepting the invitation that the shepherds accepted. So right now, eyes closed, heads bowed, if you prayed that prayer, just stand to your feet and acknowledge Jesus in your life. Acknowledge his forgiveness in your life. God bless you. Very good. Stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We see you all over. God bless you. We see you in the balcony as well. God bless you. Stay standing. Good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you.